Render those things unto Caesar, that which is Caesar, are Caesar's, and unto God, that which is God. To render. This was a response that Jesus gave in the gospel lesson this morning from the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew. As once again the religious leaders were trying to entangle him, as St. Matthew says. That is, they were laying a trap. They were asking a trick question, or what they believed to be a trick question without a reasonable response. And this was Jesus' answer. But in considering this, I want us to consider the word render, to render. What is, we have lots of connotations, especially in our language, the English language. One of the things which I think about when I hear the word render is going back to my younger days, having grown up in this area, a little bit hillbilly and country, and me every year, the day after Thanksgiving, my dad and many of my brothers and I would go up the mountain, the Skunk Hollow Road, that can only be up in the mountain, right? Skunk Hollow Road, to a friend of ours, Roger Smith, who butchered hogs every year after that day after Thanksgiving. A lot of farmers or others would butcher hogs on Thanksgiving Day. But one of the things that we would do in doing all the work of that, one of the last things that we would do is to render the lard. After we had cut out the fat from all the sausage meat or trimmed up the hams and the shoulders and so forth, we had all this lard that then went into a big kettle. And that kettle, we would cook that lard down. And then we would strain off the cracklings, that is the fat that was left, and those would be squeezed out into crackling cakes. And that's good eating. It's probably not healthy eating, but it's great in cornbread. I told you I'm a country boy and a little bit hillbilly. But to render it out, that is to get to render, that is to extract or to melt down the essence of the fat, which is the oils. Those oils, which is the stored energy of the animal. And those oils were used then by the farmers and others to fry in, to make lye soap. In the old days, some people still make lye soap with lard. But this was a rendering, a reducing down, if you will, to it, the essential nature or the essential elements of this. And in the English language, rendered indeed does mean to melt down, but it also means to transmit to another. To deliver, to give up, to give in return or in retribution, to give back, to restore, to cause to be or become, to make or to administer. And while it seems that all these connotations of the word render really is quite divergent and probably has little to do with the biblical, or many of these, we may believe at first glance, have little to do with the biblical connotation of render, I want us to see that it's not. In fact, to render, I believe, as used biblically, is really a covenantal term. It is a term of covenant. It is grounded in relationship. And it indicates what is due, what is owed in a relationship. Now, in our gospel lesson this morning, as these disciples of the Pharisees, as these Herodians were trying to trip up Jesus, they thought that it was a trick question because they knew that the Jews despised the mandatory tax payment. And they despised this because they believed that the Roman Empire was a corrupt system, a corrupt enterprise, a corrupt government that was holding them in oppression, that was not allowing them to fully function as the people of Israel. And so they believed that their contribution was in some ways blood money, as this warrior empire continued to to hold fast its vast domain of lands throughout the continents of Europe and the Near East. And so they believed, and yet it was a law. And so they believed this was a trick question. And so in asking Jesus, is it therefore lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness, their evil intent. And he says, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. And in showing him a denarius, or as the King James says, a penny, a denarius, that is what a coin that would be equivalent to a day's wages, he said, whose superscription and image is on it? Whose image is struck on that coin? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said in verse 21, in response, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In other words, he said, this is money, this is coinage that has been stamped with the image of Caesar. It is the currency of the world in which you are living, the cell in which you have been placed, the circumstances in which you have been placed. And whether it's corrupt, whether the government is corrupt or godly or not, it is a government nonetheless established by God, but it is a government whose inscription is Caesar's. And Jesus is essentially saying, we render to Caesar's that which is Caesar's. It belongs to Caesar. So we give him his due. And we render to God the things that are God's. Jesus is making a distinction here, a distinction, but a distinction without a difference. For you see, to render, to give one his or her due, is to essentially engage in the work of justice. The work of justice. Justice really means to give to him or to her or to them that which is due. That which is due. And in justice, we know, derives from God. We know that justice is at the very heart of covenant. It's at the very heart of relationship, divine human relationship. It is at the very heart and core of really our journey in salvation. But you see, we're called to a life of spirituality. Yes, we live outside of the currency of this world, the economy of this world. Yes, we render to God that which is God's. But we don't do it in a vacuum. We do it within the circumstances, the very concrete circumstances in which we have been planted within this world, within the context of government, within the context of our school systems, within context of those human relationships. And so it all begins in our relationship to God, in God's relationship with us, the people. And it is always God who has taken the initiative. Covenant, which really derives from God, is something which God has established with his creation, with all of his creation. And we read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 43, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He, that is God, God will provide atonement for his land and his people. And so we see a rendering of justice. We see a rendering of justice to those who are adversaries of God. And yet that justice is also carried out in terms of God's mercy to those whom he has called. And that rendering of justice is the delivery of mercy, of forgiveness, of atonement for his people. Remember, I said that one way of thinking of atonement is at-one-ment, to become at one with God, even as we have separated ourselves from God in breaking those promises, in breaking that covenant relationship. Psalm 94, verse 2 says, "Rise up, O judge of the earth." That is God. "Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud." So we understand and know that punishment, that vengeance, though rightly belonging to God, is a necessary aspect of the justice of God, of God's divine covenant. We live in a time in which I think that many in our culture, at least in this American culture, and the young people coming up, and the way they're being raised, really are being raised to not understand or to appreciate justice. In fact, justice we see oftentimes as being despised, not understanding that we render, that we give due. And one of the things that I think that one of the ways that this happens is that we're no longer giving trophies just to the winners, but everybody goes home with trophies. We see this in the scandal that has unfolded in the Prince George's County school systems of students who were being unjustly given grades they didn't deserve, passing grades they didn't deserve. Young people, young generations of people coming into the workforce, believing and being feeling a lack of justice when they're not receiving the same pay as those who have been there for 20 or 25 years. But you see, the world doesn't work this way. And God, in His justice, delivers to us this ordering of the universe, of the whole cosmos. As parents, we correct our children. That sometimes means punishing. That sometimes means showing mercy. But we teach them justice. We teach the world justice and making them understand that we're not all entitled to what we do not deserve. That we're not entitled to what everybody else gets. This is how we learn. But more significantly, in giving others their due and rendering their due, we begin to learn and to understand that we render our due to those in authority over us. Just as Jesus acknowledged the legitimacy of Caesar's authority and his image upon the coin, we acknowledge that while we may not like certain politicians or those over us, we still honor the office. We still submit ourselves to the authority of that person or those persons in authority over us. We render to them, by virtue of their office, the respect and submission that is due. And so doing, we are living out this covenantal relationship. We live out this covenantal relationship in terms of us rendering respect to our parents, and children submitting and being obedient to their parents. One of the things that I've come to understand and really truly appreciate about my own salvation, even as I've entered into my 50s, is the fact that probably the number one way for me, Father James, in working out my salvation is in terms of how I love, honor, and esteem my wife. And I realize and recognize that over the years that I've really blown that. That I have not rendered to her all that is due of my honor, my respect, my love, my tenderness. And there are many times where I repent when I fall short. We see this over and over again throughout Scripture. One of the things that 1 Corinthians says is, St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her." Let me repeat that, husbands. "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her." You see, God wired women differently than He wired men, by and large. And one of the ways that God wired women generally speaking, is in terms of relationship, in terms of intimacy. And that is manifest through affection. And so what is one of our wives' greatest needs? Affection. Being esteemed. Husbands, let us render our due in that way. But he also goes on, St. Paul also goes on to say, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife to her husband. So not only affection, but also respect and honor. This is rendering our due. Rendering all their due through our relationships with one another. We are told that God, yes, forgives. God has mercy, but it is dependent upon our own willingness to forgive others. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And yet, how often it is we plead to God for forgiveness, and yet we're still angry and resentful at a brother or sister. Or we seek to avenge our enemy. We are not living out a life of justice in this regard. In rendering the gospel, the whole duty that we have as people called of God is reflected in the words of Micah, the Old Testament prophet Micah, in the 6th chapter, verse 8. It says, He has shown you, O man, that is God, He has shown you, O man, what is good. That is, what is benevolent, what is like God. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? So there's a requirement. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly. To do justly. That is to engage in the work of justice. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. If we cannot walk humbly with our God, we never come to a place of repentance. If we never come to a place of repentance, we've never come to a place of acknowledging our own sins and garbage that needs to be confessed. And when we have failed to confess our sins and we live in our pride, then we certainly are not doing justice. We do not love justice. We are not rendering all their due. Whether it be to our leaders, to our spouses, to our children, to our bosses at work, and yes, even the horrible bosses, we render our due. Acknowledging that in these sticky and thorny human relationships, that there's a whole lot of garbage on either side. But this is part of our call in working out our salvation. And rendering all that is due, not only to Caesar, but unto God, who gave his life for you and for me. In this, as we close out in this octave of All Saints, we are reminded of all those, the countless throng of God's faithful who journeyed this life and all the adversity and all the trials and all the horrible situations and relationships which they faced, and yet were faithful. Today we commemorate St. Elizabeth, the mother of our patron, St. John the Baptist. And you know, while not recorded in the canon of Scripture, it is recorded in apocryphal writings that, and in within sacred tradition, holy sacred tradition, that Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, was murdered in the temple, and that when St. John was just 2 years old, when Herod was, after the visit of the Magi, when he was seeking out all those to kill all the firstborn within the district of Bethlehem, St. John was also on his hit list, knowing that he had been declared a forerunner of the Messiah, And so Elizabeth, in her faithfulness, fled into the hills. And even as Herod's soldiers pursued her and the child, she prayed to God, asking for his divine protection. And with that prayer, the hills miraculously enclosed them and protected them from their evil pursuers. And it is Elizabeth, I remind you, who also gave us a part of what we pray in our intercession to the Blessed Mother. As she said at the visitation, blessed are you among women. That is the Theotokos. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. You see, she is giving her due. Her due not only to Mary, the Theotokos, who was faithful in her relationship to God, but it all is also a tribute and giving due to the fruit of her womb, the God who became flesh and incarnate. And it is these words of Elizabeth that we continue to invoke today, along with all the saints, as we, in our own unfaithfulness, endeavor to give all their due and so carry out the work of justice, that our salvation may be assured through God's help and through the prayers and intercessions of the Holy Fathers and of all the saints. Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen.